Michael Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about... Welcome to the landing page of Dr. Hill Teach Me Vision, I suppose, .com. So, well, welcome to the page, and it's not a page which is sort of like an artistic impression of a message that I want to give out or something like that, similar to a page about a football club or a page about a product or a page about an idea, where there is the idea and you paint from the idea onto the web to give someone else a vision of what's there. This is more like a collaborative workspace where you see a whole series of things being moved and put together, sort of like looking at someone's hard drive, so to speak, where they're putting concepts and ideas together. It's sort of like, rather than walking into a perfectly finished house, it's a house under construction, and you're there to actually learn about how ideas are constructed or able to find information as it's been put together. So it's a welcome to you. You're a visitor, but you're also a observer of what's going on. And the philosophy is that this is sort of a live innovation event which you're cooperating in. Now, the idea is to find linkages and synergies between three areas which are detailed out here. And they're not, it's not necessarily a philosophy, that's just what's come to mind as a sort of welcome explanation. So you can imagine speaking to a foreman as he's talking about a building, he's got the blueprint for what's going ahead, but he's got in mind what's going ahead, but he's half describing the final building and also the contractors coming in, the building process. So there's a lot going on. It is truly under construction. So the three areas which I identified were concepts, disciplines, and communities. And to try and to go trans or across things, to across several concepts, go across several disciplines, how you approach it, and several communities. So there is basically the innovation community, there's various learning communities, there's, and they're not all necessarily all lined up. There are some synergistic, some have to be accommodated and moved around. So if you look at the communities, you've got the innovation and computing community, you've got the student community, you've got the incumbent education community, which are already offering services. So it's a diplomatic dance to move this forward. But the overall idea is to, I think it says, I can't really remember at the moment, but it's fun to be at the forefront. This is, well, we don't know where the forefront is, and you can read articles, but in general, articles are by journalists who don't know everything, and they sort of translate back from the forefront into your world. So you have this very comfortable feeling. There's not such the comfort factor. There are things which are going to possibly extend you. So this welcome page is going across here. Now, there's a story about how I've sort of, or my personal story, which will be further on. Meet Peter, make sure I don't get run over here as I'm giving this podcast while I'm doing a walk at night. And you might say, oh look, if you haven't heard this before, why would someone do a podcast while they're walking? Well, I've got several birds to kill. I've got to do my rehab. I've had a cardiac operation. I've got to get fit, and I've also got to get my cognitive skills up, and then I've got to get it all put together. As things come online, I've got to put it all together. So the end result is a method of podcasting, but also the innovative look at how you structure together podcasts as an asset. And in this case, rebind the podcast into the web page such that it actually explains what the web page is like, but also post it on YouTube so If it does come up in YouTube, people are trying to work out what it is, you can actually just click on the link and go into the web page. It sort of links on many, many ways, and then it's also produced in the feed, a feed to go through. So it's that, I suppose, complex strategy view of, you can look at external binding of assets to, I don't know, the social media. Then you can get your podcast out there and publish it in several ways and automate it into Facebook and Twitter and things like that. That's not necessarily the best necessary thing to go. You can actually bind your podcast to other assets. Like, say, if I'm doing something, I'll have a find a word, a quiz, and an app. All these things are come across and... So you can bind it that way, or you can actually bind it internally, such the podcast is linked to the web page, is linked to other other things. So that's just what's happening. Now, the general idea is how this all came about is that I came... There's this poor person trying to walk home as well. I suppose a nice person, but a bit grumpy, said, well, can you explain what you're doing? You know, what's this rehab you're doing? Oh, blah, blah, blah. And, okay, so, I'm a maths teacher, show me some of the maths. Oh, I understand it. Yes, yes. But if you're not in the right frame of mind, and you're in the view of, prove it to me when I understand it, I'll consume it. It's sort of, got me really thinking that, yes, I could explain things, I could do things on pieces of paper, show websites, sprinklings of things, but if you're really not in the mood, in the zone for it, you can't receive it. The reception is when things are in a textbook or written down in a particular way. And the modern way of doing that is in a web page or web structure. So I realised that I wasn't prepared enough, and the requirement is to have something in a website. So it's not a view to get through it. And it's also the philosophical difference, basically, between knowledge being acceptable if it's processed and verified, and then I'll go with it. If it's not, I won't deal with it. Now, that's one group of people. And, of course, I'm in the business of dealing with fringe, forefront knowledge. Could be right, it could be wrong. There's that song by Johnny Rotten. I really liked it when I first heard it, but it's sort of rather dating and boring to listen to it now. There are these people who really want everything boxed up and assured, stamped off and verified without actually too much deep think about it. It's that's something a bit of a philosophical thing, actually. What is the difference between my mates, my friends in research, and the friends in teaching? What could be the difference there? And the difference is a feeling of security if the information has got a label on it, verified, and it's generally accepted, because that's what you have to do. You're basically someone in the middle chain of a information process, and you're just removing information from one work site and bringing it to another. So you've got, say, I don't know, say the building analogy, you have to go to a quarry, the big brick factory, pick up a pallet of bricks and deliver them to be paid for the bricks. And that's a role, and the most efficient person can drive the bricks the best. Now, that's the bricks are validated. You don't know whether the bricks are right or wrong, but they're the bricks that everyone uses, and they're the bricks that actually fit in with the housing plans. Now, that's different from, I suppose, people, I don't want to put myself down, but people who like to make their own little mud huts, and make their own bricks out of mud and stuff like that, and sun-dry. So they know more a whole lot more about it, but they're not necessarily in the same zone. And so when the two worlds collide, your sort of artisan versus the the merchants, knowledge merchant versus knowledge artisans, there's this lack of understanding. So you're saying that you have an idea, you've done some maths that no one else has done.
Yep.
Okay, well, show me the maths. Well, I can see how that works. Well, this is going to be, it'll be like this. And so there's a few things that came across that I realized that I had to really stop and really get the strategy going. And unfortunately, this is a long podcast, and I hope you don't mind. You don't have to listen to it. And obviously, it's a throwaway podcast, because if people talk to it, they'll say, look, can you do a better one? Or someone will get on here and do a better podcast. Imagine someone with a really nice voice doing it. That'll be good eventually. So we can go to hear just in summary background, the website is strategically different from the average website. So the idea of the website is a collective workspace. So I'll have a good business person, a very, very good I forgot what the word is. Someone who checks for spelling and structure and sense to look over, and so that's good, and a few other good strategists to actually look in it. So it's more a collective thing which is live and up and running. And why do you have something live and up and running? Well, it's because the audience isn't there quite yet. The actual evolving thing. So, like, I've started podcasting before I've had an audience, and slowly built up the rate of podcasting and solved the basic problems to get there. Similarly with this, it's just moving into group mode. So, given the objective, which I do have an objective there, it's moving on from the phase where the actual fundamentals of being fit enough to podcast and to talk and stuff like that, that is there, but the actual structure is there. It's an internal one. It's actually folding out the architecture, the digital architecture, to allow multiple people in to come and see it, and also expand it such that a broader audience, rather than people who are just the odd one or two people overseas who are interested in listening to someone rant and rave and have a go at reading various articles and stuff like that. That will expand, hopefully, if we've got a good website. And if it doesn't work, it can be reviewed going ahead. Some like the earlier podcasts, they were dreadful in terms of speaking and time and content and structure. Doing enough is getting there. So that's the overall theory. So the theory is slightly different from someone who's trying to sell a house or sell something. I'm definitely not trying to sell something. I'm inviting you to just come on over. Where the hell are you? Lara Bingle says, where the bloody hell are you? Come over here. That's what's, it's more a friendly invitation to join me and have a poke around. And look, there is this thing of overwhelming innovation. So what actually happens is, has happened, is that you start off with, and someone's reviewing or looking at you, and they encounter the very first innovation, and they know they've been tipped off. Well, this is an innovative person, so they go, pull up and sticks and say, oh, I hate that. Oh, I'm not going to have any of that. Oh, none of this. No. And they sort of throw out the very first bit to throw the whole lot out. And so what happens is that you don't stop innovating. You just keep on accumulating and moving forward. And so that's what's essentially happening here, is that there's a fairly large number of little pokey little things to go forward. And so I'll write it up and go forward. Now, again, in this page is linked the New Generation app, which you'll recognise as a site map. drop-down menu sitemap a little bit different. I think this is a natural position on the front page. And one of the things is that you look at Google Sites and you go, oh my God, what a dreadful way of actually getting information, because it actually forces everyone to actually have three or four pages, if that's what you want, and one or two drop downs. So you can't have a daughter of a daughter of a daughter, or sorry, of it, things like that. And so, and then the actual information is there, and you have to actually poke around at a web page, reading it to press a button. I have to actually say, if you want to do this, press this download button, or if you want to hear the podcast, go for here. And so, what's underneath it is simply an enclosure of a web page, which is an All Things Considered, an application built by, I suppose, software robots off to the side. And I just looked at it. I haven't written the software. Well, in fact, there's Google Sites doesn't actually have a, doesn't hang a shingle, so to speak, as we'd say. It doesn't have an output of a, XLS file, a spreadsheet file, basically telling you this JSON XLS file saying what the sitemap is. So that's a bit of a, I can't see what Google's doing. I really can't. But it doesn't really matter. I put it in. It's not fully automated. I've had to sit there and, pop through the website. So I've just launched the Google website today and got the general gist of it. Most of it's empty. But there's a few lines in there which are worth looking at. I have the podcast, and I'm just going to go around it. But the thing below, you'll see here, is a series of buttons. And amazingly, kids will automatically go up and press the button. I was going to automatically go up and press it. But people who are in the education system, in the hierarchy, bosses, they'll say, look, I couldn't open the YouTube. It just didn't open on my machine. YouTube just opened on my machine. Oh, I saw these internet buttons here. I didn't know I had to press them. So it's just too hard. No, I can't understand it. But and you might be in that position, and I suppose the situation is now, rather than being that position, if you want to be in that position, you're not going to benefit going through. So if I can encourage you to press some of the buttons and actually go through. Now if it's got a, so as you'll recognize, it's got a bit of a periodic table, feel to it. So there's two or three letters. It's got an underline. If you click that button twice, it will, take you to the hyperlink of it. So the, when you click it first, the button, it will, now depending on your internet connection, internet connections up here in Glenbrook are just woefully slow. I'd say they're 1970s standard internet not quite. Probably 1990s. A good 20 years behind the time. And so much politics, and it's amazing how people can actually have a problem that you really, really want, and no, I haven't quite done yet, but please can I have more votes for it? That type of stuff. So it's really sad here, but if you've got a good internet connection, you'll be able to operate this. Now the beautiful thing is that this comes out as an app, and all you do to deploy the app in your web page is go up to the, and you can use this app yourself in the web page. All you do is go up, when you're doing the ed page, and it says enter code, and in the code section, so embed section, you just put the URL of the website up there, and it's automatically all done there for you. It's a pretty amazing thing. Now this is where sort of this wake up call that these critical people I couldn't convince. Now I should tell you a small side story, which sort of would reset the way you see things. And that's my father. In, I think, 1949, 1950, developed computer music. And he was just 17, 18 years old, and he had there with the punched tape and the world's fourth computer and the Australia's first computer. He had it playing a ditty, and he said, "Oh, this is great," and invited all these girls across from Sancta Sophia. My mother was included in that one, so that many years happened later, so there's a lot of, about 10 years, other drama happens, but they went over and heard her, and they completely, all the girls at the time, completely rubbished it. "That is the worst music I've ever heard. Who do you think computer music is? That will never go off." So, you know, from that viewpoint, it doesn't surprise me at all when people say, "Oh, what's this new maths? It will never go anywhere." I've heard more of the same, because my father went through far worse, in that this negative thing spread to CSIRO, and they got some UK experts in, because they really wanted to, they hated the computing group, and they wanted to get back to radio physics and, you know, let's look up at space, you know, get through the radar signal from outer space. It's a great thing to do now that we're seeing that we've got radar sources from outer space. Let's do that. And they said, "Digital is rubbish. CSIRO's got nothing to do with it. Out from CSIRO." And so they gave CSIRO's computer to Melbourne University. And of course, my dad went up there with them. Went from Sydney down to Melbourne in a truck with Australia's first computer, and rebuilt it on the other side. But you've got that sort of negative, you know, that's just ridiculous type of stuff. And you realise that you're close to the money when they don't stop to even listen to it. So the similar story here is that they overheard me saying, "Oh, what's this number? Okay, I can see." So this is a particular type of number that you have with, it's called a camel case number, or I call it a corrugated number after the good old corrugated iron, which populates all of Australia. And you add the up indices together and in one group, and you add the lower indices in the bottom, and it gives you a Cartesian coordinate for where the tile goes. And I said, this number you put in front of a thought, and you have a sequence of thoughts in a series, and so this number gets a little bit longer as you have the next progression of the thought. And so this is really the URL of a thought. And of course, people didn't say anything at the time. They latched onto it and laughed. That's ridiculous. How can anyone have the URL of a thought and actually create sort of a little mini internet on a web page? That's ridiculous. Of course, it is ridiculous. I suppose it's not ridiculous. It's just that the little URL, unlike the URL which has got to be interpreted by computers and stuff like that, is self-consistent. And what it does, and they said, "You mean this is like a tree diagram?" Yes, it is like a tree diagram. But as you go through this complicated tree and touch it at any one point, all the other branches and all the other foliage disappears. So wherever you interact with this tree, it's a magic tree. I didn't manage to get to say that. But there in it, I realised that the actual interaction with people was, you know, invaluable, because I could create, FAQs, where there's just these answers, and if you have a question, and it's similar to our previous questions, you can get the answer that I give, and then people can review it. So FAQ seems the obvious way to do it. However, also, FAQ actually is fantastic in this this new numerical system. So if I can say, if I can please say, go down, have a little press and see how it's a little bit more of an exposed menu item. It's not like, if you are a purist for web design and you know, believe that drop-down menus have a certain form and have a different way and should be made in a particular way, well, that's your full respect for you. You'll probably be paid lots of money, and people will, you'll probably be able to sell yourself very well as someone who can deliver what's required on time, and you've probably got jobs that I'll never get. But I'm on the other end of the spectrum as a researcher, more interested in what I don't know and what can happen. And so matching those things together, I've come up with this advanced software, and it's really incredibly quick. I was, sort of a bit down because it was taking a long time to actually, so say if I've got 200 tiles, that's 200 times 200, that's 20,000 possible calculations that sort of go through to make some 200 pages. So each page has 200 elements, each page has 200 elements, all the tiles in it, but the tiles are either included or not included, so you only see certain tiles. So I thought, I knew that at various points in time I was running out of a little bit of memory, I had to expand a few things to go across, and what would happen is that I'd have this on background for a while, to be working on, so set it free. So what happens is it's watching there and set it free, and it just goes off and in the background calculates things and then calculates the whole website, and like a complete website with styles and stuff like that, and puts it up, a 200 page website. So that's all okay. But, what's happening is that I'd gap it up with 90 and it would go away. It's 5 minutes to work it out. It's real scratching my head. So what the heck? I'm really rooted here because I'm using the executable version of it, which I'm sort of giving to other people. And I then closed it off, did it again, and did it within a second, actually, or two seconds, basically. And so what obviously has happened is that there is some sort of memory leak, not a small memory leak, somewhere in there, and so it's bloating up. So what happens is, so if I want to publish it, I just shut it down, open it up again. Now, one of the things is, if you live in an unreliable world, what happens is that you learn that every time it's alive, it's publishing itself to files, little text files to say where it is, like Unity files and files, and so every second basically it's alive. And so what happens is, say in some cases, I should explain that my robot factory I was built like this, and what happened was that when people unplugged one computer, another computer fired up. When they unplugged another cable, the robots went off and did another task. And, and this turned out to be quite dangerous. So there's the documentaries on robotics that you can see in Meet Peter. And I'll go around and actually do a podcast aimed at kids more to introduce myself. But there's that sort of thing. So that means that if I've got a memory leak, and so it, you leave your software on for a while and it begins to bloat up in a few registers and really slow down, you can just switch it on and off again, and it comes back, into the exact same state. This is pretty standard. I think nowadays when you're Word document crashes, you can switch it on, you should expect it. But rather than taking a long time to go back on, it's just, what does it take? Probably 3 seconds to load. And this, the computer's not a gun computer. I think it's i5 and not many cores to it. And of course this is, you know, old software. And of course the new software which I've almost been writing for is for multi-core stuff. Like getting a series of tasks going at the same time, because LabVIEW is just absolutely a gorgeous, gorgeous program, because if you actually give it multiple tasks, it will go off, I hope, or at least I believe it does, goes off and distributes it into multiple cores and get things going. You sort of know this because you can get data conflicts when you get the information coming back from two cores at the same time. But the moral of the story is that from adversity, from negative experiences, the overall, it's like I have done a talk on strategies, what I call minus one strategies, where you go out and you pull people down or you put rules out and you actually try and control the situation by limiting innovation, limiting people. There are zero strategies, which is totally internal to yourself. So you're watching the environment and you work out what you can do. And there's plus one strategies, which this is very much of, where you attempt to do things, but very gently, and use the information to find out as much as possible about the process, but also about the environment containing it. And so this is very much a plus one project, process of, oh, I found the environment containing it requires web pages to go across, and so therefore I'll, oh, I suppose, so I think, so many hours after the interaction, I began to put in web pages, and although that might be a bit slow, I looked at Google Sites, and there's Google, I just find it just insufferable about how the actual things have been put in behind money walls. You know, we now want to get money from you little blighters. But then Google was just going incredibly slowly, sort of like shoot me in the head slowly in terms. That's because the internet collection was slow, and it's actually, if I dumped a big file in the Google site, it would just to say I'm saving, I can't do anything, which is unlike what I do, is where in the software I write, it saves, goes in background, and you just can continue working. So, like for instance, when it's uploading a website, you can, you can actually look at the website locally, so it makes the website a local image, and then it uploads that local image to the internet, and you can go on, and the website will start to appear in real, not in real time, but as you're looking around, so you can just have a look at it, and so, here across all, what's happened at the start of the style sheet hadn't been loaded up yet, so, I tend to put the, I don't know why I do this, I put the style sheets last, I suppose you should put style sheets first, but it sort of goes up and builds it. And so imagine if I had optical fiber NBM, or so we call broadband connection, wouldn't that be fantastic? So that's the overall idea. So you can sort of see this happening live, and so the actual general principle of a negative response, milking that negative response to actually document it and actually pull things across, and it actually builds information up. So at the moment, when someone says, oh, URLs have thought that's a stupid idea, well, that sort of has got a transaction at this point in time, it's sort of lost, but I can sort of harvest that and sort of chew on it. I actually put it in a space where I can get multiple people looking at it, multiple people listening to it, and indeed questioning it. Is the URL, these numbers, which are the URL of a thought, which are different. So, I suppose the URL tells you where the thought has to go. It's in the server. But it's a bit like, more like, the number header in front of the picture information. In terms of this goes in as in a linear stream, and it gets reconstructed into two-dimensional, well, I suppose a multi-dimensional picture of your thought. So, it's a way to go ahead. So, that's pretty much all I can say for it. Go on. And the other structure is that we're out in new territory in here, that I can actually, in the web page, put a podcast, put the podcast on YouTube, put the YouTube link back into the web page, so I can get sufficient number of things pointing internally, which is a different thing from publishing in one media and actually just shoving it out like a rain coming down a hill into different Tweet and Facebook. And obviously Tweet and Facebook operate on a community setting and a community use, peer-to-peer community networking and linkages, if I can actually get the internal links across. Unfortunately, the upload, all these steps, say in Blogger, it's a bit of a pain, but in so many things, they haven't allowed complete bot automation for it. So in YouTube, you have to actually physically, there doesn't seem to be a command line that you can upload. Wouldn't be great if I could upload something to YouTube by command line, and also put in the actual byline, so the actual, it's uploaded to YouTube, automatically put in the web page, and automatically the YouTube has the link back to the web page. So looking at it, presses, it doesn't happen. And that's, there goes, I suppose, I'm very much aware, like memory leaks, that will dissipate the amount of work that I can get going. Thanks a lot for listening. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.